Debbie Critchfield, Superintendent of Public Instruction. Welcome to the Superintend Podcast, where we highlight important issues in education, success stories in our schools, and shine a light on some of the work we do at the Idaho Department of Education. Episodes are 10 minutes long, which is why we call it the Superintend. Today we'll focus on an issue we frankly heard too much about in the last few months, youth suicide. Historically, Idaho has had some of the highest suicide rates in the country, and sadly, it's a distinction that also includes our young people. The Idaho Youth Suicide Prevention Program is among the resources working to change that. The program is a joint effort between the Idaho Departments of Education and Health and Welfare. To discuss youth suicide prevention efforts in our state, we welcome our department's coordinator, Hannah Crumrine. Hannah, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Debbie.
Tell us a little bit about your history here at the department.
I've actually been supporting youth suicide prevention since 2019. I started as a contractor and then transitioned to an employee about 2.5 years ago.
You've seen a lot, and things that are uncomfortable and hard. And you support schools in postventions when there's a teen suicide. There's a number of things that you do, and that's really what I want to dive into as we understand who is responsible for what, who has roles to do what. What do we do at the state level when we talk about awareness and prevention?
Sure. We run the gamut. We provide prevention support, intervention support, and like you mentioned, postvention support. So I can start backwards.
Yeah. We
provide postvention support, not just when there's a death by suicide, but when there's any sudden loss that affects a school community. So if your school loses a student to an automobile accident or other natural causes, we are available to jump in and provide support.
Wonderful.
And consultation.
So, and student deaths unfortunately happen, as you've mentioned, car accidents.
Yep.
Or sometimes a terminal disease or
yes.
Something, and it does have a ripple impact on schools, as it should.
Yeah, it does, for sure. I mean, grief is grief. There's a unique sense of grief and loss associated with a suicide, but we're here to help with any sudden loss, and that extends to educators as well as maybe student parents or guardians. Anything where a community might be grieving, we have resources.
Because of a prior job that I had in my home district of Kaja, I was in a position to facilitate some of these types of discussions around suicide. And one of the most important things I learned right out of the gate was the terminology. And I've really changed how I talk about these things. And you mentioned, you know, death by suicide. There's just historically and just over time different ways that we've kind of gotten into talking about that. But I think right from the get-go, do you help also educate on how we explain and describe these things?
We do, and I appreciate that you brought that up, and I appreciate that you have transitioned in your own language because it is so important. And as a department, we really try to destigmatize this issue, and there's a lot of shame and blame involved in a death by suicide. So we've moved from language that might criminalize or contribute to the stigma around suicide. So we do say death by suicide rather than committed. We don't say things like a successful attempt or non-successful attempt. We just say attempt. We just kind of, you know, use terms that neutralize.
I love that. And words matter. We always know that. And I think that it actually, in my opinion, helps how we talk about it, because then we're describing a situation that isn't infused with maybe a value of whether or not, you know, we thought it was right or wrong, or if it was justified or not, or a student has died, and this is how the death occurred. So on the school side, what kind of questions do you get when someone reaches out and says, hey, we need some help, either with explaining the prevention side, awareness, or if the tragedy has occurred? You know, what are schools asking for?
We have a lot of schools asking for support in the prevention and intervention phases. So we do, I'll speak about intervention quickly. We have a couple of trainings that we offer virtually that help counselors and other school staff know what to do as far as intervening when there might be an attempt or intervening when a student is experiencing a mental health crisis or suicidal ideation. So we get a lot of questions about screeners to use, how to connect with parents, how to support this student safely and get them to a referral or the care they need. So we provide training about that. And then we get a lot of requests for training in the prevention arena. And primarily we support districts and school communities with what's called a gatekeeper training. And that term just generally means you are an adult in a position to identify a youth who might be experiencing a crisis, and this training will equip you with the tools to know the warning signs, risk factors, and then how to safely ask the question. Because again, going back to language, it's so important to be direct and say, I'm concerned about you. Are you thinking about suicide? Are you thinking about killing yourself? And you don't say, are you thinking about hurting yourself? Because in someone's mind, suicide might not be
different.
Painful. It could be the escape from pain.
For me, equal to changing the terminology that I use, one of the biggest myth-busting moments that I have as I've gone and learned more and gone through some of these trainings as well has been this this kind of persona around asking the question, oh, don't ask. Because if you ask, that's going to prompt them to think about it. No. All of the science, all of the everything that we have is actually the opposite of that. Inquiring is a lifeline in some ways.
Exactly.
Help me with that.
You don't know. You're spot on. That's exactly right. And that's why this gatekeeper training is so important, because it empowers people to ask that question directly. And then the next step is getting someone to safety. So, yes, like I said, you're spot on. That's it.
So we've got the school side. I'm assuming, expecting that you also have people reach out, you know, parents reach out. How do we, at our level and what we can do and what we know, how do we also help connect parents with resources? They're the ones, they're responsible for their child and want to be responsible. And if the school can be a partner in that, we want to encourage that and support that. But for families that are dealing with some of these emotional issues, what's your advice?
We have a lot of supports on our website. We have brochures, help guides, all kinds of written materials that we can distribute to families. We like to work with schools and districts and have them be the main communicator, because, of course, they're going to have their own policies and procedures and resources in place. And we want to be connecting families with those local, regional supports. So we really try to work with districts and schools to reach parents. But we do have a number of resources for them on our website. I always refer parents to the 988 number.
Wonderful.
Yeah, their staff is trained to support you with not even... not just a suicidal crisis, but any sort of mental, emotional crisis. They're a great resource for families.
Some of our districts have taken to putting the 988 number on student IDs as just a quick reference for students who are in crisis in the moment, need to talk to someone. My mom or dad maybe aren't available, or maybe that relationship isn't developed in a way that they're comfortable, or they don't feel as though they have a trusted adult in their life. And so one of the things that you and I, with some others, are working on is broadly communicating the community-based resources within the various parts around our state. Many times there's good help right in your own backyard, but we don't know about it, and therefore it doesn't exist. And so I know you're part of an effort with that as well. We could talk about this forever. There's so many just different components to it. But I want to ask you here in our last moments, having been in this position and seeing things as they are now, what are some of your conclusions just in general about behavioral health or how we interact with our youth around this topic of suicide? I know nothing, you know, nothing major there.
I would say I'll go out on a limb and say I don't think it's as bad as people think. I think there are a lot. I think it's a very important and heavy topic, and so there's a lot of urgency around it, and there should be. We should be supporting students this way, but there's a lot of students out there who are thriving.
Wonderful. That never consider it.
And never consider it. And I'll add that even those students who do, suicidal ideation is fairly normal. A lot of us have down days. Some of us go so far as to move into ideation, but recovery is the norm. By and far, we are connecting students and families to resources that help them recover and live happy, healthy, productive life. So I really, if I drive home anything, it is that recovery is the norm.
I love that.
And there is help and there is hope.
I love that. I can't say anything more than that. Hannah, thank you so much for taking time. And again, we'll remind listeners that they can go onto the SDE website. And of course, people can reach out to you if they have further questions. Once again, our guest on the Superintend has been Idaho Youth Suicide Prevention Coordinator, Hannah Crumrine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Superintend podcast is produced by the Idaho Department of Education. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. They can also be streamed on YouTube and the department's website, sde.idaho.gov. I'm Superintendent Debbie Critchfield. Thank you for listening.